everyone, and welcome back to The Kate Show. If I sound a little different, it's because I have upgraded my podcasting equipment, and I am very excited to announce that I will soon be turning this podcast into a video podcast, and I will give out all sorts of announcements when that happens, but just know that it is in process behind the scenes. It is not just a pipe dream. It's actually happening, and I'm so excited. I'm excited to be able to, like, you know, FaceTime with you guys. So today I am talking about the two key phrases that you might be using that are actually self-sabotaging your marketing. Now, if you find that, oh no, you're using one of these phrases, you don't have to go back and delete or erase from the internet or burn all the print advertising or marketing pieces that you might have had that had these phrases on them. Just use it as information to help guide your next steps forward. As one of my favorite business coaches likes to say, your past is not a fortune teller, it is a teacher. So as long as we are learning from our mistakes as business owners, we are on the right track. Speaking of that, I'm going to have to put together a full episode detailing all the mistakes I've made in business over the past decade, as well as all the new services I tried to launch that failed, because I think it's really easy for people to listen to a podcast like this and think, well, of course, it's easy for her because blah, blah, blah. But what you guys don't really see are all the times I've said the wrong thing in my marketing and learned the hard way, and it has cost my business clients and money because of it, or all the things that I poured hours, days, weeks, months into building only to have it launch and kind of fall flat, and sharing what I learned from that. So I am probably going to have to make that a podcast episode. But for now, I just want you to know that if you are doing and saying some stuff in your marketing that you shouldn't be, don't feel like you've got to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Let's not even break apart that analogy. But let's just move forward with the knowledge that you're going to do better, because every year in business, we should be doing something a little bit better. All right, before I get into today's episode, I would like to thank one of our sponsors, The Foundation Website, which, yes, is one of my products and also, might I add, one of my better ideas. It's going really well. So if you need a better website and you don't want to do it yourself, and you need a website that can grow with your business that is tailored to the home industry, and you want it to be easy to update, attract your ideal client, get you found online, good SEO, you know, really all the things, then you need The Foundation Website from The Socialite Agency. We will help you set up your website, handle your basic SEO, optimize your images, assist you with copywriting, and you get to keep full control over that site moving forward. Now, you might be wondering, isn't this a lot like custom website design? And in some ways, yes, it is a hybrid. We used to sell website templates. Some of you probably are still using them to this day. But we found the issue with selling DIY website templates was that a busy entrepreneur in the home industry, such as yourself, doesn't really have time to figure out how to optimize a template, how to brand it, what to say in the copywriting. And that means you purchase a template that maybe you never do anything with. And that's a problem, because my goal as the CEO of this marketing agency is to make sure that you get your website, because that is the foundation of all your marketing. So if you're still kind of stuck with, I have a website that's not working for me, I need a new one, I can't really go custom because of time or budget constraints, this foundation website is the perfect hybrid solution for you. If you would like more information about it, head over to katethesocialite.com. Look under the services section. You'll see it there. And now I would also like to thank Sidedoor. Sidedoor has been a longtime sponsor of the Kate Show podcast. I am such a huge fan of everything they're doing. So if you are an interior designer who's looking for newer, better ways to scale your business so that you don't have to keep trading hours for dollars, then Sidedoor is something you should really give some thought to. But when I say give it some thought, I don't mean hop on the Sidedoor, create a bunch of furniture collections, and then wonder why no one is buying them. No, I mean make it part of your business growth strategy, which means you also need a marketing strategy around it, which, by the way, is something that I help people with. So if you are like, yes, I love Sidedoor, I'm not really sure how to sell on there, but I know I want to sell trade-only product. I'm tired of sending my clients over to Pottery Barn or Target or wherever to get the miscellaneous items they need or even the full room furnishing accessories and decor that they need for their project. I want to pocket more of the money because I am working hard. Well, you know what? I hear you, and so does Side Door. So if you are interested in working with Side Door, go to onsidedoor.com to get signed up. And then when you're in there, start by creating just one collection based on your favorite client. If that client were to clone themselves and that clone were to come to you and say, hey, I need to outfit this room in my home, do you have everything for it? You would say, yes, I do. Here is the collection specific to the family room that you want to outfit. And it's in this particular design aesthetic because I know that's what you tend to like. It's very specific. It is very tailored. You're not creating a shop that people have to sift through to like find like a good area rug amongst the 15 that you put in there. That's too much. Don't make your customer or your client do any shopping on their own. This is a curation service, if nothing else. And that's where you can really shine as an interior designer and sell through Side Door when so many others are struggling to do so simply because they make it too hard for their client to know what to purchase. So again, go to onsidedoor.com to get started today. And with that, I would also like to thank HoneyBook for this episode. HoneyBook is one of my preferred platforms for automating the client experience, and they make me look professional. They take work away from me and my team so that we don't have to sit there and remember, oh, did we send the reminder to this client as soon as they booked the service? There's all these things we need from them. I can't just manually sit here and like copy and paste pre-written emails to them. Who's got time for that? Well, HoneyBook does all of that. They also capture payments and digital signatures, so we keep everything legal and above the board. So if you are interested in adding this beautiful client automation to your business, go to honeybook.com and use the code SOCIALITE to receive 50% off your first year. Okay, guys, let's get into it. What two self-sabotaging phrases should you avoid in your marketing? All right, guys, getting into it here, let's just dive in with phrase number one. Do you ever say that you design or stage or organize based on the client, based on their lifestyle? Now, I know what many of you are thinking right now, like, wait, how could that be wrong? All our services should be tailored to the client, correct? Well, yes and no, just hear me out. Yes, designing or organizing or styling, whatever you're doing for your client is the heart of what you do. But using this phrase can be damaging because, number one, it makes you sound like every other designer on the planet. Because, like, yes, every designer is designing for their client. But secondly, and most importantly, it puts way too much pressure on your client. You see, when you say to a client, or write on your website, or put out there on even social media or your newsletter, that you design rooms or stage homes based on their needs, wants, and lifestyle, you're immediately telling them they have to tell you what they want and need. But as you know, people don't know what they want, and they especially don't know what they need. It's your job to uncover that. So you should be shining the light on the fact that you are going to be uncovering their wants and needs for them while, of course, listening to whatever they care to share with you. This helps you play up on the services that you offer, making it clear that you're the one doing the work here. And after you uncover their needs through a careful process and figure out how to translate those needs and solutions into their homes, you look like a rock star because you are. You can take time to explain your process for doing exactly that, and that can be part of your marketing. You can have a blog post that describes your design process, or a newsletter that says what to expect when you hire a home stager or a home organizer. On your marketing, that how we work or that process page on your website will detail even more, a step-by-step from the discovery call to the final reveal. You don't want to just show your client the end result you're going to give them, but walk them through how you'll get them there, because that will help build trust. Now, in marketing, that means sending the message that you want to work alongside your clients, that you understand they have needs they may not even be able to articulate yet, and that you're passionate about playing detective and uncovering their needs and wants for the space, and that you'll successfully and efficiently translate all of that into a one-of-a-kind space that's perfectly suited to their needs, while simultaneously increasing function. Taking the burden off your clients just by altering your phrasing is going to help you communicate better. And really, that's what marketing is. Marketing is you communicating with people that you want to work with. And the last thing you want to do is put pressure on them. You know, I often think about this from the perspective of when I am meal planning for the week and I say to my husband, hey, is there anything that you want to eat this week? You know, sometimes he has ideas. But most of the time he's like, I have no idea. Just like food, like big food. I don't know. And that's why I am the one in charge of this, because I do have a plan. I have intentions. I have certain parameters that have to be met. I know that we're not eating this, that, or the other thing. The kids can't have too much sugar. My daughter can't have gluten. Like, there are so many parameters that I follow that someone who's not used to doing that would have no idea. And the same is true whether you're organizing, staging, or designing. You know that certain things are just not going to work, but your homeowner client has no idea. And they will spend time hoping for, dreaming about, planning for things that will never translate well in their space. And that is why we have to be careful not to put the pressure on them. Now, to give you one other analogy, I am a designer, not an interior designer, but I am a website designer. And it's really quite similar, although I would argue that designing a website is much easier than designing a room. Maybe some of you will disagree with me there. But when we are designing a website, so when my assistant Natasha and I are designing a website for somebody, we try not to ask them too much about like what they want down to the nitty gritty, because it stresses them out significantly. Instead, we say, hey, why don't you give us a couple websites that you really love? Tell us what you love about them. And if there's anything that you don't love about them, share that with us as well. They have to have a starting point. We can't just say, well, I design websites based on your business. Because now it's like, oh, okay, well, I don't really know what my business needs. You're the expert here. So I need you to tell me what I need. And I have had people say that before, because if I do start asking them more specific questions, they're like, you know, I'm hiring you for this. So whatever you decide is going to be great and just go do it. And I love hearing that. And usually it works out just fine too. So I want you to keep in mind that if someone were saying to you that they relied on you in order to do their job in the guise of helping you, how would that make you feel? And then make sure that you're not making your clients feel that way in your marketing. All right, I'll get off that podium. The other phrase that you need to be very careful about is saying, I offer free consultations. Now, the whole consultation conversation is actually quite nuanced and even polarizing. Some people feel like they should, of course, have a free consultation. Why wouldn't they? They'd miss out on leads if they didn't. Other people feel like this is valuable time. And if they are a tire kicker type of client, I need to charge, because otherwise I'm literally working for free. And what I have realized is the conversation isn't really about free consults versus paid consults, but the conversation should be more so around how are you defining a consultation and how are you defining a discovery call? Because what a lot of people will call a consultation is actually a discovery call. It might happen in person, it might happen over the phone or video or whatever, but if a discovery call is happening, that means you are discovering information. You're asking questions and answering questions. You're not providing advice or tips or resources. That would be a consultation service. So when people have a discovery call with me, they might come to the call with specific questions. And typically I can say, that's a great question that would be covered in our ongoing consultation services together, depending on the plan that you choose with us. Or I might answer their question if it is like a really basic one, just because, you know, it's good for our potential clients to ask us questions and it's more impressive for us to be able to answer them. But that's where we have to figure out where is the fine line of actually having a discovery call to figure out if we want to work with someone versus doing a free consultation where someone's just milking us for information so they can take off and implement it on their own and then just circumvent us entirely. And quite honestly, if you've been in business for a few years, you're going to have a pretty good sense of what line not to cross. And also, not to make this more complicated or confusing, the longer you are in business, because this is true for me, so I'm guessing it's going to be true for you as well, you will see there are situations where your discovery call gets a little bit consulty. And that's completely okay because you can tell this client is serious. They are definitely going to work with you. They're just thinking out loud. They're trying to sort it out. And giving them a little bit of value on that discovery call that it would be kind of akin to what you'd give in a consult is acceptable. But you have to be mindful of who you're talking to. So if they are the type of person who's like, well, I'm also talking to like two other organizers right now. I'm just trying to pick one. Be careful how much information you give them because they will be doing this to the other organizers as well. And if they're just running around treating organizers or stagers or whomever like their own personal Google or like their own personal Pinterest search, that's when you have to be a little bit more closed about what you're offering while still, of course, getting the information needed to make it a successful discovery call. But let me tell you something here. If you are offering a free consultation, and it is a consultation, it's not a discovery call in disguise, but it's a consultation where you're driving to their home, you're going through their space, you're giving them ideas, and then wondering why they don't hire you, that's why they're not hiring you. They don't need to. It's like the old saying here in the Midwest goes, why buy the cow when the milk is free? And don't give that milk away for free. It's valuable. So if you are like many of the designers, stagers that I've talked to over the past decade, you might offer a free 30-minute consultation. And that might feel like a very insignificant commitment from you. I have seen up to a 2-hour free consultation, and that just makes my skin crawl because I'm not sure how anyone could be profitable at that point. As soon as people start doing this, they decrease the perceived value of their business. And I'm not a business coach, so I'm not going to talk to you about this from a financial standpoint, but I am going to talk about the damage this does from a marketing perspective. So on the most basic level, when you put something out there for free and you use the term free to market it, you're going to attract people who like free things. The leads and potential clients that come down your pipeline because of a free consult will very rarely want to pay you for your work or invest a significant amount for your services. And even if they do hire you for a small project, these are most likely to be the clients who have overdue invoices, require too much of your time, and cause major headaches long term. But the good news is the simple solution for this is to just offer a different solution. So did you get that? The solution is to offer it as a different solution. Yes, I know. I'm a podcaster. I can't talk. So basically, you need to push the discovery call and have clear parameters around what the discovery call is. So if it's 10 to 20 minutes long, then you're not going to be able to get too in the weeds about everything. You're going to be able to get the basic information to figure out whether you should work together, and then they can book a paid consultation with you after that point. And also, during the discovery call, you are directing the conversation, not the client. So you're asking about the client's deadline, budget, locations, and other basic necessary details. It's kind of a screening call to make sure that they can afford you and to make sure their timeline will work with your timeline. It's very different from a consult where the client is asking you very specific questions and requesting advice without commitment and soliciting your expertise for free. I will caution you, though, to have a few phrases in your back pocket that help you pivot the conversation when inevitably some of these discovery calls result in people getting that free design advice. So you could say something like, you know what, let's set up an official consultation to discuss these topics. My consultation rate is XYZ. You can go here to book it. And this will alert your potential client to your value, your professionalism, and your expertise in navigating not only the design world, but the business side of things as well. So you are not a free resource, but you are a quality resource. So if you're willing to navigate the occasionally slightly sticky situations that can arise from a discovery call, it's definitely a good thing to offer in your business. The other option to consider is using an investment guide as your lead magnet. And that's something that we offer our clients at the Socialite Agency because a lot of them are like, I want to avoid the tire kickers. I don't even want to get on the phone with them. I don't want to get a contact form submission from them. If they're just inquiring about a single sofa, I don't want it. So that is why it's helpful to have an appropriate lead magnet that will deter people who would be shocked at your baseline hourly or baseline project rate. Now, we've talked about what you shouldn't be saying in your marketing, but what should you be saying? Well, let's flip the script for a moment and think about this. One of the best ways you can grow your business long-term is by partnering with other people, by finding someone else who works with your same demographic but doesn't compete with you and saying something like, can we partner together? That's the most basic question. Or even, how do you wish that you could enhance your service plans? And could I be part of that offering to help you meet that need? Or ask them, what frustrates you the most about your clients or the services that you offer? What feels slow or sticky or disjointed? Because maybe the realtor is having a hard time selling the home because the potential buyer just can't figure out how they would make it their own. And there's so many different scenarios like this out there. And that's where someone as the organizer or the designer, someone who's offering move-in services, styling services, furnishing services can provide a printed lead magnet to the realtor and say, hey, give this to your client because they don't have to do this alone. I'm here to help. So that is why, guys, the words that we use and the words that we don't use matter so much. That is also why the lead magnet that we use matters, because not only is a lead magnet meant to attract leads, it's also meant to repel the wrong leads. Choose your words carefully. Choose your lead magnet carefully. Don't devalue your business with silly phrases that are easily avoided. And look for opportunities to partner with others in your industry and position yourself as the expert that you are with the immense value that you bring. All right, guys, that is all I have for you today. Thank you so much for listening. And be sure to tune in next week as I keep you all up to date on the video podcast and when that is launching. I'm so excited. Until then, keep your marketing simple, your message clear, and I will talk to you soon.